Hi, it's Nicola here. Before we get started with the podcast episode, I have some very exciting news to share. My book, The Career Confidence Toolkit, Take Control of Your Career and Fulfill Your Potential, is now available in both paperback and Kindle format. If you find yourself struggling to answer the question, what is it I want to do when I grow up? Or if you find yourself lying awake at night, reflecting on the day, and thinking there's got to be more to life than this, then the Career Confidence Toolkit is for you. The toolkit will allow you to take control and navigate your career with purpose and with passion. My objective is for you to wake up each morning, excited about the day ahead, and going to work with a spring in your step, knowing that your unique talents are being fully utilised and you are achieving your potential. Now, the toolkit is in the format of a book, but it's not just for you to read and then move on. It is a highly practical guide that will not just teach you how to take ownership of your career, it will also reveal the secrets of finding deep satisfaction in the work that you do. It will take you on a step-by-step journey, full of actionable tips and real-life stories from people who have paved their own paths to career happiness. You'll discover how to build an unshakable confidence in your abilities, and you'll also learn how to embrace the ever-evolving world of work and do so with courage and with resilience. You can find the book on Amazon by searching for Nicola Semple, or if you prefer, you can purchase via my website by going to nicolasemple.com/book. I can't wait to hear what you think of it. Hello and welcome to the Career Confidence Podcast, where we explore how you can build your career with confidence in this ever-changing world. I'm your host, Nicola Semple, a certified mindset coach and creator of the You Are Enough coaching cards. I help professional women take control of their career, believe in themselves, and rediscover their career mojo. Today, I'm going to be talking about your inner critic, and more specifically, how you can turn your inner critic into your best career ally. So that we're on the same page, let me explain what I mean by your inner critic. It's that little voice inside your head telling you that you're not good enough, not intelligent enough, not pretty enough, basically not enough. Our inner critic tends to get vocal when we embark on something new, or when we stretch ourselves out of our comfort zone. And often your inner critic is telling you that you can't do something or that your idea will never work. If you're in a meeting and you make a point that others don't agree with, your inner critic is that voice in your head that says, well, that was a stupid thing to say. Just keep quiet from now on. If you're considering a career move, your inner critic might tell you, you're lucky to have the job you're in. Don't rock the boat. You're not qualified to do anything else anyway. And if you're thinking about putting yourself forward for promotion, it might say, wait a minute. Do you realise that you'll have to work much longer hours if you take on a more senior role? Just stick to what you know. Anyway, you probably wouldn't get that promotion. You might be wondering, why on earth do we do this to ourselves? Why do we deliberately stop ourselves from doing the things that are important to us? While your inner critic might seem incredibly unhelpful, the whole purpose of that little voice is to keep you safe. It's the part of you that doesn't want you to face discomfort or disappointment. It's protecting you from harm. The world can be a scary place, and we're always alert to danger. In prehistoric days, that danger presented itself in the form of predators that could cause us physical harm. In our modern world, The risk of predators coming in eating us up is slim, but our brains are still wired to protect us from danger. And the voice of our inner critic is one of the tools we have in our repertoire to keep us safe from that perceived harm. Our brains are constantly looking for threats and ways to keep us safe. And our brains use our past experience to predict future situations. Effectively, you go into autopilot mode. Think about touching a hot fire. Your automatic reaction is to move your hand away from it. If you were to logically think through and process what's happening, you would probably end up burning your hand. Because the time your logical thought process worked out what you needed to do, your hand would have been on the fire for too long. Now, our inner critic is formed mainly from our childhood experiences. When we were young, you might have misinterpreted the intentions of the adults around you. You might have heard your parents say, "Your brother always does so well in exams," which your budding inner critic interpreted as, "I need to work hard so that my parents approve of me." Or a teacher might have said, "Well done, I can always rely on you." And your inner critic interprets that as, "I have to make myself available and always put the needs of others before my own." We've all created our own stories that the voice of our inner critic reinforces time and time again with the intention of keeping us safe. However, in keeping us safe, our inner critic often stops us from taking risks and from taking the action required to achieve the goals that we set for ourselves. So what can you do instead? How can you stop your inner critic from holding you back in your career and instead make your inner critic your career ally? The first thing is to get to know your inner critic. There will likely be a pattern of negative self-talk behind your inner critic. Listen to what the voice is saying to you. What are the repeated stories that your inner critic tells you? What's your default autopilot response when your inner critic starts to tell you these stories? It's not possible to turn off the voice of your inner critic. That voice has been developed over many years based on your past experiences and the feedback that you've received from others round about you, along with our own perceptions of that feedback. That voice is always going to be there in the background. However, you do not need to believe everything that your inner critic tells you. It's a voice. It's not the truth. So when you get comfortable recognizing that that voice has kicked in, you can then respond thoughtfully and rationally to the voice rather than letting emotions take over. So for example, if you're sitting in a team meeting and your manager is looking for somebody to take on a new project, and you know that you're already overworked and overloaded, but there's a little voice in your head that's saying, "You're letting the team down. Somebody has to do it. Come on, you need to say yes to this. Your boss is looking at you. She thinks you're lazy. Why haven't you volunteered?" If you allow yourself to immediately react to that voice of the inner critic, then you will find yourself with yet another project to add to your already busy workload and a growing feeling of resentment that you're always the one that needs to volunteer for these things. However, if you can allow yourself just a few moments to recognize that it's your inner critic that's taken over and have a rational internal conversation, you'll be able to acknowledge you already have too much on your plate, that you'd be doing your manager a disservice to say yes because you wouldn't be able to give the project the time, energy, and attention it requires. And while you've been working through this thought process, another more junior member of the team has volunteered to take on the role. They've got more time available, and it's a great development opportunity for them. It's a win-win. Now, as you get better at recognizing when your inner critic starts talking, you might even want to give it its own identity. If you can create a persona for your inner critic, it can help to dampen down the emotion you feel when those thoughts kick in. So my inner critic's called Doris. A few years ago, I bought a plant pot that I keep in my kitchen. It's got the face of a woman on it who's got pursed lips and her eyes are closed. When I saw the plant pot in the shop, it immediately appealed to me. But it was only when I got it home I realised that she was a visual representation of Doris. In my mind, the look in her face represents, "Oh, Nicola, what kind of nonsense are you thinking of now?" When my Doris thoughts start to kick in, I just need to think about the face on that plant pot. I still listen to what Doris has to say to me, but I can also appreciate it's slightly ridiculous to listen to what a plant pot is telling me. And also, these thoughts I'm having, they're just Doris's opinions. They're not truth. They're not facts. They're just thoughts. What I think is particularly interesting is that not only can you take control of your inner critic by recognizing that it's just a manifestation of your thoughts, but you can actually start to use your inner critic as a career ally. As you become more familiar with recognizing your inner critic, I want you to notice not just what it's telling you, but also when the voice is emerging. Maybe you'll find that your inner critic comes out to play more when you're tired, or when you've been working long hours, or when you're trying to multitask and combine work and home time. What patterns can you notice? And most importantly, what action do you need to take to help you manage your inner critic? Do you need to make sure that you get a certain amount of sleep? Do you need to prioritize eating at regular intervals? Do you need to have clear boundaries between your work and home life? By starting to acknowledge and give yourself what you need, you'll also learn what you need to have in place to build your emotional resilience and to ensure that you're best placed to perform well at work and enjoy life. So if you've been able to create a persona for your inner critic, then my next suggestion will be much easier, and that is to have a chat with it. Be curious and see what you can learn from it. Okay, I appreciate you may think I've lost the plot, but let me explain. Often your inner critic is giving you clues about what you need to do to move forward. So for example, if you're applying for a new job and your inner critic tells you, you're wasting your time, you don't have enough experience to do this job, you could nod along and say, yes, little voice in my head, you're right, I don't have enough experience to do this job, I shouldn't apply. Or you could say, wait a minute, let's look at the evidence. This then drives you to create an overview of all the skills, knowledge, and experience that you have that demonstrates exactly why you're the perfect person to apply for this job. Or you might think, you know what, little voice in my head, you're right. I don't have enough experience to do this job. But on Monday, I'm going to talk to my manager. I'm going to talk to them about how I can take on more people management responsibilities. And I'm going to make sure that I get the experience that I need so that the next time this opportunity arises, I'm ready for it. Or you might find that comparisonitis has set in. Your inner critic saying, oh, look at Suzanne in the sales team. She's always so prepared when we meet with the CEO. I look so unprofessional compared to her. Rather than disappearing into a downward spiral of why you appear so unprofessional and why your CEO would never trust you with important projects, instead, you could make sure that you're super prepared for that next meeting with the CEO. You could analyse Suzanne's performance, understand what she does that you find so impressive. Is there anything that Suzanne does that you would like to incorporate into your own style? As you can see, if you can detach from your immediate emotional response to what your inner critic tells you, then you can use that information positively to allow you to develop and grow. To summarize, to help you make your inner critic a career ally, you need to first of all get to know your inner critic so that you recognize when it takes over. Give your inner critic an identity to make it easier to rationalize and dampen down the emotion attached to the stories it's telling you. You need to notice when your inner critic is active and ask, what do I need right now? Very often our inner critic kicks in when we feel vulnerable and may need to help ourselves to perform at our best. And finally, you can learn from your inner critic. You can use your inner critic to identify what you need to do to move forward. Now, I will caveat all of this by saying that it's not easy. Your brain is hardwired to protect you at all costs, and your inner critic is the tool it's developed to help you stay safe. Sometimes you might feel like you've got your inner critic firmly under control, and other times it's running riot and swinging from the chandeliers. In every situation when your inner critic takes over, do your best. Learn what you can from the situation and know that learning will stand you in good stead for your next encounter with that negative voice in your head. That's all for this week. Thank you so much for listening. And if you've enjoyed the episode, do make sure you subscribe and share with friends or colleagues that you think would benefit from the content. Who do you know that struggles with their inner critic? Send them an email, drop them a WhatsApp, message the link to this podcast. It might just make their day. Finally, I'd love for you to leave a review on your podcast app of choice. It makes a massive difference in terms of getting the show recommended to more people. It only takes 2 minutes and I'd be incredibly grateful. Thank you again for listening, and I'll talk to you again next week. Bye for now.